Howdy, gang. Welcome to episode 115 of WAD Hockey, where we talk all things Texas hockey and the stories and culture that surround it. Follow us on the social media at WAD Hockey on Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. Connect with us on LinkedIn if you're a business or if you just want to make your network look more impressive. This is going to be a star-centric episode, but before we get into everything, let's catch up with the Bare Bones crew, which is just myself and Jason for the night. Jason, how's it hanging, man?
It's hanging very well. It was my child's fourth birthday today. We celebrated this weekend very well and in style. Brought out a bounce house, a water slide. Had a great time, man. Oh. Had a good time with the family. And yeah, dude, I cannot complain.
Well, happy birthday, Max.
Yes, happy birthday, young Maxwell.
How was the water slide and bounce house?
Dude, it's pretty dope. That thing is probably the best investment we've ever made. It was like $300 at like Sam's.
Oh, you bought one?
Oh, yeah. Like last year. And so this is year two with it. And man, it held up. Like it's still out right now. Like it's drying right now. Hopefully we don't get any weather to hold that up. I was hoping the rain would subdue until tomorrow afternoon, whenever I can actually let it dry before I put it up. Because you know, you don't want to put it up wet. It gets all moldy and stuff like
mildewy
that.
Mildewy and your garage stinks.
Exactly. And you know what? You know what else like doesn't smell like whenever you take care of it?
What is that, Jason?
It's a great Conway and Banks hockey bag, dude. Because if you're looking to replace that old moldy hockey bag with the busted zipper, go check out conwayandbanks.com. They make premium quality bags. They are built to last. They include those removable organizers to keep all your gear organized and keep everything dry with those waterproof materials and those giant vents. My favorite feature is that built-in foot mat that keeps my feet dry in those wet locker rooms. And they come in 3 different sizes and 5 different colors, so you'll be sure to find one that you love. So go get 10% off by using code WHATAHOCKEY10 and get your gear to the rink in
style. Nice. You get both for that segue.
Yeah. But no, dude, the weekend was great, though. So I'm hoping, like I said, I hope the rain subsides for another day or so and I can actually get out there and wait till it's dry and put it up.
I hope it dries out for you. You don't want that old moldy bounce house.
Water slide. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So weather's not looking great. Damn, dude. Weather looks so shitty.
I know, for the rest of the week, too.
Into next week, also. Mm-hmm. As long as it's dry enough by Friday of next week, I will be happy.
What's up Friday, dude? What do we got?
I got a golf tournament. The OU Club of Dallas does a scramble tournament for their scholarship fund.
Okay.
So I signed up a few weeks ago. gonna play with a guy that I got randomly paired up with a few years back. It's a lot of fun. They have the OU radio guy come out and talk football. So, looking forward to it.
Where's it at?
Stevens.
Okay, Stevens Park.
Yeah, nice. It's a fantastic
course. That's the one
course.
On Jim Miller, right?
No,
that's Keaton. That's Keaton.
That's Keaton.
Mm-hmm. That's Keaton, all right.
Stevens is down in, like...
Oak Cliff?
No, I think it technically is Oak Cliff, yeah. Cedar Creek is in Oak Cliff, but...
More like Bishop Arts area.
Yeah, just outside Bishop Arts, like old Oak Cliff.
By the zoo.
The opposite side, but kind of that area. Mm-hmm. Would recommend, though. But yeah, that's all I care about. And I got the day off because it's on a Friday, so
hell
looking forward to it.
Are you a Fridays off kind of guy?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Just because of the.
Yeah, just for this one, just because of the tournament. But I don't know. Sometimes I'm more of a half day Friday kind of guy. Like I'll do mm-hmm. stuff in the morning on Fridays and then be like, it's nice out. I don't feel like being online and working for the rest of the day.
Yeah, you get that that little ball thing that scrolls your mouse for you.
Just shows exactly.
That you're on teams.
But yeah, dude, it's finally spring. Perfect golf weather. It's also perfect sauce weather. And you can get that sauce with Sauce Toss. The copy is a little short here, but it's cornhole and kind of beer pong, but with hockey. And it's a lot of fun. And if that sounds interesting to you, you can head over to saucetoss.com and use code WATASAUCE for 10% off your entire order. And like Conway and Banks, beautiful bags. Hashtag bags for beauties. My copy work is a little rusty. Now that I'm not doing range reads off the cuff anymore.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I hope Sauce Toss doesn't listen to this and be like, what the fuck was that? That was terrible.
Nah, we can, we'll skip the invoice on this one. That's fine.
That one's on me, Sauce Toss.
Nah, you guys can, hit up that PayPal if you want to, just send it. If you guys want to just donate, man, whatahockey@gmail.com, man, just throw a couple bucks at the PayPal, you know, shoot your shot, like, man.
Yeah. Feeling like, being a benevolent benefactor.
Yeah. And you know what? Maybe it might inspire us to put some more merch out there. Well, you know what? If you're listening to this, I know we're kind of we're in a lull of merch at the moment. What do you want? Hit us on our Instagrams, on our socials, and our DMs. Let us know what you want.
Absolutely.
Because
shirts,
we've got hoodies, some
koozies.
We've got some wheels turning, and I think what right now is what's happening is we have too many things, and we need you guys to help us narrow it down.
Yeah, whittle that list down.
So tell us what you want. Hit us up. Hit up the DMs. Slide in them.
Absolutely. Unrelated, before we get to our next beautiful sponsor, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, fantastic.
So I've been told.
It is absolutely worth the 2.5 hours or whatever the runtime is. It's got some tearjerker moments, both happy and sad. Amazing. So good.
I might be taking Kelly for Mother's Day now. Like, I'm going to make her go watch this. I mean, she would totally appreciate it, but yeah, man,
it's,
I need to make this happen sooner rather than later though.
Yeah. Go see it in theaters.
Oh yeah. That's the plan. No, there's no way I'm going to wait till it comes out on whatever HBO or whatever.
Yeah. Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Marvel. Sorry, yeah. JK. Just one more movie recommendation. This is not a movie podcast, but, this is a hockey podcast and I'm not one. But you are, and Fink currently is, at this very recording moment, a beer leaguer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's beer leaguing it up.
He is beer leaguing it up. And I think Fink also loves to travel. And I know you love to travel as well. But if those two criteria sound like you, listeners, then Third Line Hockey is perfect for you. We're pumped to team up with Third Line, as they are all about bringing like-minded individuals together for hockey-filled excursions. Places like Pittsburgh, Chicago, Denver, all homes for upcoming drafts, and open to all skill levels. So if you're god-awful like me, can barely skate, you can probably still play. There's only one requirement, and that is to have a good time. You can check out all the details on how you can get signed up at thirdlinedraught.com. That is 3rdlinedraft.com. Make sure to check them out on Facebook and follow along for all updates on upcoming tournaments. They got some sweet kits, some sweaters, pants, socks.
Dude, those
wild.
Absolutely, man. Their entire jersey setup is fucking sick.
It really is. It's something different every single time. I believe you get to take the jersey home with you.
Yes.
So you get a little souvenir on top of excellent memories of all the friends you made, the good or bad hockey that you played. And all and the drinking.
Typically bad hockey because of the drinking, though. I think that needs to be said. Because of the drinking, it's bad hockey.
But it's good for having fun.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
You don't care as much. It's perfect.
You're not wrong there.
Everything's more fun when you care just a little bit less. But alrighty, man. I think we got to talk some hockey. And I hate to do it, but I'm going to bring the tone down just a smidge for the time being. Just real quick. We posted a statement on our Twitter and our Instagram. Down Americans are close to home for us, physically and figuratively. They've been super accepting of us as a show and what we're trying to accomplish, growing hockey in North Texas, getting people out to the stadium, getting people to Richardson and Frisco and Farmers Branch out there skating and trying something new. So what happened last weekend? I just want to send out condolences to everybody affected, not just people that were injured or killed, but that's an incredibly traumatic experience for anybody that was in the general area. And there's no real sense to it. Wish we could do something about it. But for the time being, all we can do is offer our support to the victims, their families, the entire Allen community, the players. Their game got postponed against the Steelheads over the weekend. Hockey seems pretty trivial at the moment. But yeah, just keeping everybody in our thoughts and prayers.
I mean,
I hate to say that, but that's really what it is.
Especially given how close like the incident was to just the arena in general. I mean, it's
5 minutes.
Yeah, walking 5 minutes. You know,
yeah,
you can get there in your car much quicker.
Yeah,
and it's sad that we have to talk about the. I mean, fortunately, we don't talk about this every week, but I mean, we're having these conversations weekly, and at some point, you know, enough is enough. And this hits way too close to home. Like, I know people who were going to be there later that afternoon.
Yeah.
Or who were, hell, you know, I don't want to mention the dude's name, but I know people who went to school with the person who did all of this. And this is not cool. Like, these are people that, especially when it starts getting this close, man, these are people, you know, like, this is the closest that it's ever been to me, and it's wild. My life, I mean, everybody's lives, especially, it's all changed, man. It's just, it's way too close.
Yeah. Point. I mean, Steve and I were there, not this most recent Friday, but the Friday before, and it could just have easily been us or you and Kelly and Max or Fink and or Shannon and her kids.
Yeah.
It's rough. And it makes you sad to think about all of the aftermath of what everybody's going to have to deal with. Mm-hmm. It's really tough.
Man.
So just wanted to offer our support to the Allen community, to the Allen Americans, everybody in that area. Sorry to bring the mood down after our intro and ad reads and all that good stuff. But, you know, some things just have to be said. So it is what it is from that perspective. But man, let's bring it
hockey,
back
man.
Up
let's,
a little bit.
Let's
we'll bring let's it back up some.
Game one of this series. Patrick, man. What were your takeaways from game one where the Seattle Kraken defeated the Dallas Stars 5-4 in overtime? Let's hear about it.
So game one of this series was very similar to game one of last series, in the outcome at least. It took them a good while to adjust to the speed, and we knew going into it that Seattle's forecheck was pretty menacing, and that took 35 minutes to get used to. It really wasn't until the last, I would say, 5-6 minutes of the second period that they started to figure out, like, we need quicker puck movement, we need lifts out of the zone. We can't just sit back there behind the net because they're just going to pin us down. And that's exactly how they got those three quick goals, was just sloppy puck handling. And if not for Joe Pavelski, that game is a blowout.
Yep. And I mean, we're going to talk a lot about Joe Pavelski in the upcoming, you know, minutes of this show. But I mean, this entire series has felt like the previous series. I mean, down from the, it's almost, aside from getting blown out 7-2, I can't remember what our blowout was in the, I think, was it 5-1?
5-1, yeah.
Yeah, it was game 3.
Not that different.
Yeah, so I mean, it really wasn't, you know, an overtime loss in the first one, where, I mean, in the first game, we didn't look terrible, other than Joe Pavelski was the person who was putting the puck in the back of the net. Like, as a team, I think we played relatively well. Like,
yeah.
There was nothing to be upset about other than the fact, I mean, this is like a repeat from our last episode where we talked about, or was our last, or maybe the one before, where we were literally having the same conversations about Minnesota. Where just like bad. We were not upset about game one, like other than the end result, like all in all, we came away still extremely confident about the game and going into game two of that series, where in game two, the Stars completely turned around and dominated. And completely shoved Seattle where, you know, the sun doesn't shine.
Yeah, game two, well, game one, like you said, exact same, almost to a T, same game flow, same outcome, one bad bounce, and a ridiculous just throw it at the net shot from Yanni Gourde, I want to say. In overtime,
yes, I believe it was
like he. I don't think he even knew what he was throwing the puck at. He knew the net was kind of there and just see what happens, which is usually a recipe for success.
Well, because I think rule kind of number one in hockey is like put the puck on net and see what happens.
Yeah,
somebody's going to clean it up. Either it gets cleaned up or it gets stopped. I mean, whatever.
Yeah. So get a juicy rebound. You get the defense discombobulated a little bit. Start scrambling, then you can get a true cycle going, and then good things typically happen. And in that case, they just happened to score on a really unfortunate bounce for us, and that was that.
Mm-hmm.
Game two was much like the Minnesota series, completely different. They found a really good way to neutralize the forecheck. They actually, I don't have any statistics handy, but the amount of times that they were chipping it just past the blue line to cut short the forecheck. Because those forwards for Seattle, man, they pinch down behind the net and they pinch hard.
And yes, and they seem to be like scrawny motherfuckers where they just kind of get in there and they come out feisty. Of nowhere. Uh-huh. And, you know, more props to them, man. Like, Seattle's been, this has been a fun series, like even like throughout the season. I think, what were we, 2-2 against them? Or no, did we?
2-0-1.
Okay, that's what it was. So, I mean, we're good. I'm not shaking in my boots yet.
Yeah, I mean, if they can keep doing what they're doing, we definitely cannot rely on special teams as much this series. Because while Minnesota was god-awful on the penalty kill, and also not that great on the power play, Seattle is the opposite. They have a really good penalty kill. I want to say they're third in the playoffs at 84%.
Yeah, because it switched because their season special teams numbers were, I think, were absolute garbage.
Yeah, not so great.
Mm-hmm.
But game two, I think we found the recipe for success. You have to...
It was putting shots on. I mean, we outshot them 37-27. Capitalized 1 out of 3 on the power play.
69% on the faceoff.
Nice.
Nice. Absolutely. Anytime you can win 70% of the faceoffs, that's, you're setting yourself up. You have set plays that you can run that generate offense automatically and don't necessarily rely as much on free-flowing hockey IQ and chemistry, which, not that the Stars really are lacking that. Although maybe the top line, which we can get into as well in the Joe Pavelski discussion, could use a little more chemistry. But like the forechecking line of Radek, Delly, and Glendinning, and I kind of hope Kivi at some point.
Right.
They've been really solid. They've been playing physical down in the corner boards like they're supposed to do. They're not generating too much offense in terms of production, but when you can get a pressing forecheck like that, it is just another way to open up space for your team, which generates chances, which generates scoring, like we just said. But, man, game three.
Game three hurt.
That was not ideal. I mean, that is about as much of a snowball effect as you are going to see in one hockey game. I mean, first period, I thought it was about even. Seattle may have been a little bit better, but not enough to show for it in any statistically meaningful way. Although the TBS folks said that the Stars had zero high danger chances, which I don't know that I necessarily agreed with. They had some good looks, but for the wheels to come off in the fashion that it did is a blessing and a curse. It's a curse in the sense of the game flow was just completely destroyed. Miro, yet another incredibly unlucky bounce, just gets smashed in the face. We're lucky he doesn't have a concussion, or if he does, I hope he doesn't.
I haven't read any news on him, but let's see here. Go ahead. I'll pull up something.
Pete said he is day to day. He's out there with the group. Said it's a pretty bad cut. We'll see how he feels tomorrow. 24 hours makes a big difference with those types of things. Cut is not around the eye, and he is not in concussion protocol.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, that's all I got there. So
that's the main concern, was the concussion protocol, because it takes 24 hours
to clear that regardless. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a 5 or 6 step process, and you have 24 hours between each one. I hate to say it, but if Miro was out for 5 days, that would be Thursday. Or that'd be Tuesday, then Thursday, then Saturday. That would be 3 games right then. I don't think we would make it to Saturday.
There's no way. I mean, without another person, without another body stepping up. I know we haven't really talked about Robo, where is he at? Where is he right now? We haven't quite mentioned it right now. I don't want to kind of rag on him too hard, because I feel like he is being I just feel like he's being just marked heavily, and so he is being taken out by other teams, and they're just making him inefficient. So in terms, it's allowing other people to be successful in this department. It's just another person needs to step up, other than the secondary captain of this team, if you will, Joe Pavelski. So this is just where the Stars kind of need to step up. And I, like I said, kind of going into game three, I wasn't super upset with anything. Game three kind of hurt a little bit. You know, I wasn't expecting to lose 7-2 or what? Yeah. 7-2.
Yeah.
You know, I would have liked a lot like game three of the previous season series, where we lost 5-1, and I was still okay with kind of how we looked. There were still some flashes of light there. You know, the team didn't look super sloppy at the end of it. We still kind of kept up with the Wild in game three on shots. I think we only missed them by like one. It was 24-25 apparently. And we just kind of got beat up on the boards by getting hit a lot. And I think that's kind of what, I don't think we expected Seattle to be as brutal as they have been on the boards too. They've been extremely physical. The Stars have not been able to lay the hits down like they've wanted to. And we've just been getting literally knocked around out there by the teams, or by Seattle.
Yeah, for a while there, the hits were incredibly lopsided in Seattle's favor.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, it was like 22-9. I want to say probably 5 minutes into the second. Finished 29-20, which is not bad.
I felt like Seattle let up, like, because they didn't need to continue to be as physical as they were. They knew they had this game in hand. They didn't need to be as physical. I'm sure they would have out-hit us 50-25 if the game would have been close. Yeah. If this would have been a 2-3 game, absolutely those hits would have kept coming.
Yeah. And game two, Seattle 45, Dallas 32. Game one, even more lopsided. Good Lord. 47-19.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we're getting kind of tossed around a little bit.
Manhandled.
Yeah.
I think the guys are just having a tough time adjusting to it, because the hits that Seattle throws, they're not penalty hits. They're just clean, solid contact. They don't hit late, or if they do, there's been maybe a few times, but not anything really egregious, at least that I've seen. Everything is, the puck is, you know, pretty close to whoever they're hitting, and it's all on the boards, and you can't really complain about that. That's a valid style of hockey to play. And in the playoffs, when you want to grind the other team down as much as you can, those hits add up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a question. Are you concerned about Jake Oettinger?
No, because I think a game like he just had in game three is something that you need. And I look, you know, hopefully I think he gets the nod here in game four, hopefully to get I don't want to throw it out there because I'm not superstitious, but I am a little suspicious.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to throw this out there. So I do think he needed a game like that to kind of maybe wake him up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like, okay, I need to step my game up. And so hopefully this just doesn't get into his head. And I think Oettinger is capable of moving past this and showing that he can be the leader that this team desperately needs.
And yeah.
I shouldn't say that this team desperately needs a leader. I do think there are some people on this team who are clearly stepping up and being a true leader for this team. Joe Pavelski, Tyler Seguin, Jamie Benn, even obviously the captain. Mm-hmm. So, I'm really hoping he can bounce back from this. I think he can bounce back from this. But I do think that he will be on a much shorter leash, though. And then I think if he does not perform well in the first, I don't think we see. I mean, if he gives up a quick two goals, you know, 10 minutes in, then maybe we're seeing Wedge right then.
Yeah.
At least I would hope that that's what Pete's doing. So
I will say it's nice to, I mean, we dogged on Bones
mm-hmm.
as much as anybody. And one of our primary complaints was that the style that they were attempting to play, which was score twice and shut everything down from there, was not super conducive to success, given our personnel. Mm-hmm. And I will say that Pete's adjustments that he's made, both in the Minnesota series and in this one, have been really good. And I actually, for the first time in a good while, I'm pretty confident that whatever adjustments they make pending Miro's availability, which I think is probably the biggest question mark. And to be quite honest, I wouldn't be surprised if no matter what happens, unless he like physically can't breathe out of his nose, that he is just going to full cage it up and go out there and play anyways.
I 100%. I think that's what we're seeing.
Yep. But,
and I like that term that you used there. It started with the A. What was that? Adjustments.
Yep.
I think that's something that's a new term here to Dallas Stars fans. Because as much as I can respect a coach who sticks to his guns and is true to it, you know, like, no, this is my coaching style. I believe that this mm-hmm. will work. I 100% can stand behind somebody who has, like, if they think that their plan is it, I can get behind it. But also, whenever you realize that your plan is not working, I need you to be able to adjust. I need you to be able to adjust.
Try something else.
Yep. Because obviously it's not fucking working, bud.
And try something else.
I like to give people the benefit of the doubt, though. Like, I mean, maybe you know something we don't. What kind of information are you rocking, man? Like, with the confidence that he had going into this, like, no, I don't think this team's broken. What are we talking about here?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's important to acknowledge when, like, yeah, you can say we want to get back to our style of hockey, but it's not like a full 180 from what you're doing to what you're supposed to be doing. You need to make small adjustments, like putting Pavs with Marchman and Domi before putting him on the first line. That was a solid adjustment. adjustment that worked really well, as we saw in game one.
And it doesn't necessarily mean to be indicative of Pavelski's level of play. Like, this is not saying that he's not first line material.
Yeah.
No, this just means that his style of play is better suited on this particular line, where he can benefit or complement his entire line. And this is no longer like an individual game. This is, at the end of the day, this is a team game. You're only as good as your weakest player. I know I hate cliche sayings in sports as much as possible, but as much as the next guy, I guess. But there's a reason these sayings are sayings, because that's what they are.
They're true. It's true for a reason.
True sayings. Yeah. Stereotypes are stereotypes for a reason. Like, that's it. You know? But that's what it is at the end of the day. So, I mean, game four is tomorrow, 8:30. Puck drop.
Nine.
Yeah. 8:30. Sorry.
They actually, on Sunday, they dropped the puck at like 8:40 somehow.
I didn't think it was possible. The game before them just ended very easy. It was a nice, like, I don't know, think of it now like the 2.5 hour baseball game. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. it was just so, full disclosure, after it was 4-0, I turned it off in disgust. And then Marchment scored while I had it turned off, and I pulled it up on my phone instead of having it on TV, and then watched number 5 go in, and I was like, oh, God damn it. What am I doing here? What am I doing to myself?
I turned it off after 3, and I tried to go back in after Marchment scored, and I was just like, no, because this is how they're going to get sucked in, and I'm going to end up needing a new phone, like Fink over there.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yep.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
So, I've really had no complaints about Seattle's players. But one thing I wanted to point out that really grinded my gears, after the third goal, Carson Soucy waving to our bench after scoring his first goal in the playoffs. Like, I hope DeBoer pulled that clip and is like, you guys fucking see this?
Like, this fucking clown, this guy?
This guy, out of the whole team, he scores his first goal in the playoffs in his career, and he wants to wave goodbye to you in the second period with 4 games to go? Like, that should piss you off.
Yeah.
It really rubbed me the wrong way.
If I'm Pete, man, I'm printing that out, and I'm putting it on, like, the lockers before the game.
Yeah.
And I'm fucking pumping people up, dude. I'm getting that fucking mixtape from Dallas all the way up to the up to Buffalo, man, to get going in the locker room.
Sending up by the courier.
Yep. And next thing we know, man, Puck Off is just gonna start playing, and we're just gonna kick some ass after that. God, I hope that's what happens.
Man, that's sometimes what you need. You just need that extra little jolt of enthusiasm. Not that the guys are, you know, missing any aggression or enthusiasm, but every little bit helps. It all adds up.
Well, okay. I mean, let's talk about the rest of the team here. We've talked a lot about Pavelski. We've talked a lot about just kind of like the lack of offense this team seems to have a little bit. You know, let's go back to game one really quick. It was really cool to see old Big Rig and Jamie Benn kind of get into it there.
They're hugging match.
Cutely. Yeah, the little hugging match there in the first. That was kind of cute, man. That was good to see. Take me back, man. How'd that make you feel there, Patrick?
I miss the Big Rig. I really do. No offense to Hawk and Paw, but if I had to pick between the 2 6-foot-6 defensemen, give me Jamie Oleksiak 10 times out of 10.
100.
He's better offensively. He hits more. I think he's just better overall, and I was really bummed that they couldn't protect him, which I think the expansion, I get why the expansion rules are the way that they are, but man, it's such bullshit that you have a limited number of players and this team comes out of nowhere and gets the pick of the litter that's not superstars but are all really good players and just see what happens. I mean, that's why Vegas was a wagon in their first year. They got not quite the best of the best, but the really good of the best. So yeah, I was really bummed to see Alexiak go. And Steve, I actually bought Steve. That's her second team. I bought her an Alexiak Kraken away jersey.
Not thinking that this situation would happen.
No, I didn't.
It's okay, man.
I want to bring up somebody that we've talked about multiple times already. What are your thoughts on Thomas Harley?
Man, I listened to a lot on Thomas Harley this morning, actually. I pulled up the old Rinky Dinky podcast there and listened to them chat about Thomas Harley. Initially, I think we were all kind of upset about his situation, kind of having to go back down and play that entire season down there. But I definitely think that's what he needed, because at the end of the day, yes, you can still be a rookie in the NHL, maybe get a few runs in you. You know, you might score a couple goals. You're going to have some moments. But I think you need a season like he had in the AHL, where he just kind of really ripped into everybody. So now he's dominated. Kind of coming into the playoffs as like, I don't want to throw this into like Ted Lasso talk really quick, but like season one, Jamie Tartt, you know, like he's just like this big wig. Like he's just this hothead, like dude, like just on this tear. And like, I don't need it, but like, I'm going to kick everybody's ass right now. And so like, maybe that's kind of what he needed a little bit, but I mean, it seems to be happening here though, in the playoffs, obviously not so much in the second series. I mean, he's had some flashes, but I think it's great to see him though. I think it's cool to see him having the postseason that he's having.
Yeah. And one point about his stint in the AHL, I don't remember who it was from, but it was either DeBoer or Jim Nill that basically said he needed to get his ego back.
Right.
Like,
so they said he go beat him up in the AHL.
Yeah. Like, you want that inflated ego for when you get to the NHL a little bit, so that you can tell yourself, I belong here.
You know what I just realized? Doing some quick Thomas Harley stats.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Harley and I share a birthday.
How about that?
Hell yeah. My fellow Leo friend. What's up, Thomas Harley? If you hear this, man, shout out to you. Happy birthday on August 19th.
Well, we'll give Thomas Harley a special birthday shout out on our episode that week.
We will. I'll be sure. And we're going to have to get him on. I'm going to have to know his thoughts on what it's like to share a birthday with Bill Clinton. Like, to me, I think that's one of the coolest things. Absolutely the coolest thing about having a birthday on August 19th.
Any other famous birthdays you'd like to shout out?
My sister, Oprah. My sister shares a birthday with Oprah, October 14th.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, Tom Cruise as well. She shares a birthday with Tom Cruise.
Wow. So elite company.
She's got a pretty cool. Yeah, I could very well be making all this shit up. Hold on.
She's got both sides of the couch jumping scandal covered.
Right.
Oh, man. I love celebrity birthdays. Like, it's so arbitrary. That's kind of neat.
Oh, like, okay. She actually shares a birthday with my worst enemy. I totally forgot about this. Usher. I totally forgot she shares a birthday with Usher, my sister. But also Stephen A. Smith, Roger Moore. Wait, Stephen I felt like Oprah would have been like way up there.
Screaming.
Oh, Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Nice. Wow, nice.
I definitely thought Oprah would have been much higher on there. Which, now, when is Oprah's birthday? Sorry, French fries out there.
We have gone January way 29th. Off track here.
Whoa, that is way off.
Not Why close did I think at all.
It was October 14th?
Not close at all.
Why did I think Tom Cruise? When is Tom Cruise's birthday now? July 3rd. What the hell? Wow.
Not close at all. on either account.
No. Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
Famous people born on my birthday.
That's so funny. I have I got Amy Poehler.
Go after that. Oh, Amy Poehler. Ooh, Amy Poehler. All right, cool, cool. Parks and Rec.
David Copperfield.
Oh, hey, hey now.
Who else? Nick Jonas.
Okay.
What the hell? If you live in America, September 16th is the most common birthday.
No way.
What in the hell? That is wild. I had no idea. It's also Mexican Independence Day.
Yes. Did know that.
For those who celebrate, Father Hidalgo gave his famous speech.
All right. So on August 19th, I got Bill Clinton, John Stamos, Matthew Perry.
Okay.
Coco Chanel.
Nice.
Fat Joe.
Oh, hell yeah.
bassist John Deacon.
Okay.
Oh, Nate Dogg. Hell yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah. And that is about it. I'm getting into a bunch of like TikTok stars and I have no idea who they are.
Yep.
So I'm getting out. Okay, cool. Pulling up. All right, hold on. No, I need to know who, like, my sister has some pretty cool people on her birthday. I know that. I remember that. I'm being, like, completely jealous of her birthday, though, too.
Apologies okay. again to the French fries.
Yes.
If you made it this far.
So, okay, she's got YouTube star PewDiePie.
He's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Drake.
Nice.
Okay, hold on. Time out. Time out. This is not right. This is not right. Sorry. It said October 24th, not October
14th. Mm, damn.
October 14th birthdays. I was like this. I would have remembered Wayne Rooney. All right. Usher. I remember Usher. Oh my. George Floyd.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. to George Floyd. Ralph Lauren.
Big one.
Okay. And that's it. Stephen A.
Screaming A. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Roger Moore. 007. Jared Goff. Okay, cool. Shaggy Tudope from Insane Clown Posse and Jay Farrow. All right, cool. So happy birthday to
them. Oh, man. All righty. Well, there's your Why Today Doesn't birthday Suck.
Birthday news.
Man, I think we just need to wrap it up there.
Absolutely.
I think that's a good ending point.
Well, hey, if you guys made it this far, man, we really appreciate it.
Thanks for sticking around for celebrity birthdays that people on the show and their families happen to have.
All right. I think for the cover of the episode, we're going to need Tom Cruise. We're going to need Oprah, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Usher.
Yes.
And Thomas Harley.
And Thomas Harley.
And that's it. Joe Pavelski.
And Joe Pavelski. Okay. Question. Do we have stickers?
Do we have stickers?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got
some. I'll put a call out if you're cool with it.
Yeah, sure.
For anybody that sees our post on Twitter or Instagram, if you can tell us the relevance of the people on our cover photo for the episode, we'll send you a sticker or two or three.
Boom. Yes. You know what? I'll one up it. If you are the first person to do it, you get like a whole goodie box.
Okay.
Of random What a Hockey goodies. We got a bunch. So I've got an entire tub full of crap. So.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. If you were the first person to DM us with the relevance of all the people, you don't necessarily have to tell us their birthdays. And I get it. But just if you tell us why they're relevance, there. Yeah. Why are they there? Yeah. Why is Dwight D. Eisenhower on the cover with Usher?
And Oprah and Tom Cruise.
Yes. All right.
Perfect.
Yep. 100%, dude.
I think that's a good ending point.
I think Jason, people should make good choices by DMing us with all the answers. Oh, regardless, man. If you guys DM us, you'll get something out of it. I promise. Yep,
definitely.
Whether it's a decal, you'll get, it might just be a signed piece of paper from the boys at Water Hockey. And the, but you'll get something, man. I promise.
We always deliver. And we always, what, Jason?
Stay moist.
We always stay moist. And we always stay sassy. And under no circumstances, even if we get the dates of celebrity birthdays our siblings share completely wrong, forget our Kermit tattoos.